Good morning. Can any of you guess what is the most popular sport in the world? Alex.
Soccer.
I can't imagine how you could guess. Maybe it's the soccer ball I have in my hand. In soccer, if people do something dangerous, like Alex, if you're the goalie and you've got the ball, you've just caught it in your hands, and I try to kick it in your hands, I might hurt you, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know what happens? The ref will hold up, what's this called? Alex.
A yellow card.
It's a yellow card. The ref might hold up a yellow card, and that means, do you know what it means? It's a warning. It means you did a bad thing. In this case, I did a bad thing. And it's like, don't do that thing again. You did a bad thing. You got a yellow card. And then I do it again. And you know what the ref will do? The ref will hold up the yellow card. And then the ref will do this. What's this? It's red. This is called the
red card.
It's called the red card. It is. It's called the red card. This is a pretty simple game, isn't it? Yes. The yellow card says you did it bad again. You were dangerous. And this, you know what this means? It's a red card. Yeah, it means you're out of the game. You can't ever come back in this game. Pretty strict, huh? Pretty harsh punishment. You did it the second time, you only got one warning, and then you're out of the game. And that's in soccer. If you're playing basketball, how many times can you foul against somebody?
Five times.
I knew you'd know that, I don't know that. But very good. You can foul against somebody, you can hit them, you can bump them, you can knock the ball out of their hands, you can kick them, you can do all kinds of bad things. You get to do it five times before you get thrown out. But soccer's pretty strict. Soccer says, nuh-uh, you did it twice, you're out of the game, you don't get to play anymore. Long, long time ago, the Apostle Peter went up to Jesus and said, if somebody does something bad to me, how many times should I forgive him? Should I forgive him seven times? Does that seem like a lot? Seven? Seven's a lot. Yeah. He does something bad, you forgive him. He does something bad, you forgive him. He does something bad, you forgive him. Seven times? That seemed like a lot to Peter. And Jesus says, no. Seven times 70. I have a feeling somebody in here has already figured out how many times that is. Do you know how many times that is? I think it's 490. I think it's 490, which is a lot. And what that means is over and over and over and over, we're supposed to forgive each other so that we can keep being brothers and sisters, we can keep getting along, whether it's your friends or people we go to church with. We're supposed to forgive people over and over and over again. And you know what? We never get thrown out of the game because God forgives us that many times. That teaches us to be more like Jesus and more like God wants us to be. So people say, I'm sorry, I messed up again. You can say, okay, let's play some more or let's do some more. All right, maybe we can still be friends, but I forgive you. Because that's what Jesus wants us to do. Anybody got anything exciting they want to share? No. Okay. We're going to say a prayer, and you get to take something, one thing out of my basket over there, and then Mr. Bill has plans for you downstairs. Okay, let's make a circle. Jesus, we thank you for all the lessons you taught us, the way that you explained it and how you lived out all these good things so that we can see how to live, how to take care of each other. Guide us as we go each day so that we can be gentle, forgiving people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can take one thing's out of the basket, and I think Mr. Bill, he's over there. He's over there waiting for you.
God of mercy, compassion, and second chances, we worship you. We thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for our countless blessings. We thank you for teachers and love of learning. We thank you for epiphanies, discoveries, and your marvelous creation. Jesus, help us understand. Help us move past hurts, betrayals, and damage. Allow us to forgive. Allow us to let go, move past, and build better lives. Set us free from grudges and old sins. Spirit, holy breath, wipe clean our hearts. Lift hurt, anger, and revenge far from your world. May all nations turn from hate and discover hope. May all people in all nations know justice, plenty, and peace. We pray all this and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
From the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. Then Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, Not seven times, I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions.
and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe." His fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Here ends the reading from Matthew 18. My message this morning is called Forgive. Jesus wants us to forgive. Jesus wants us to forgive over and over and over, even big, outrageously big debts and crimes. Jesus wants us to forgive. Now, for some of the details in this tale, when Peter asks how many times to forgive, what does Jesus answer? It varies depending on the source. Is it 7 times 70? Is it 77 times? It's many, many times. On to the parable, the story Jesus tells. The first slave owes the king, his master, 10,000 talents. A talent equaled a laborer's wages over 15 years. Thus, the slave owed the king what it would take a laborer 150,000 years to earn. Is there any way he can pay that back? No. At first, the king ordered the man and his family to be sold to help pay the debt. Imagine your fear, owing more than you could ever hope to repay. You find out your spouse and your children will be sold to pay what you owe. Our newspaper this week carried an Associated Press story about senior citizens still carrying student loan debt. Over 4% of those 65 to 74 owe on student loans. They featured Rosemary Anderson, who testified before a Senate committee about her $64,000 in student loans, which have ballooned to $126,000. Having survived a divorce, health problems, and an underwater mortgage, Anderson renegotiated her mortgage and is working to pay her other bills, but sees no relief for the mushrooming student loans. No hope of ever paying it off. I'm sorry. The slave in the story Jesus told knew he and his children could be sold, scattered to the winds, to settle what he owed. So the man hit his knees and begged. The king showed him mercy. He forgave the debt. The king wiped his heavy slate clean, setting him free. Sometimes the stories from the Bible can seem too strange, too far away. Thus we imagine 57-year-old Rosemary Anderson, who has worked for years to pay her debts, suddenly being relieved of that cloud. Biblical scholars who have studied the language of Jesus recorded in the Lord's Prayer tell us debts is probably what he said. Today our versions may use trespasses or sins when we ask to be forgiven as we have forgiven. However, Jesus probably said, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Droughts, illnesses, injuries, and deaths could destroy a family back then. Not just from the emotional losses we still face, but from debt. A family went into debt during a crisis and had no way to dig out. You and your children might be sold. You might be thrown into prison until your friends and family paid your debt. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Back to the parable, our story from Jesus. The slave asked patience for a debt he could never hope to repay. The king forgave the debt, wiped his slate clean. We cannot imagine relief that large. As the slave walked out, he came upon a fellow slave who owed him 3 months' wages. Just as the first slave had fallen to his knees before the king, this slave fell at the man's feet and begged for patience. He refused and had the second man thrown into prison until he could pay his debt. We all get indignant about now, right? You were forgiven a huge debt and set free. Now you cannot forgive or be patient with a small debt? What a nasty, miserly, unforgiving man. That is just what the king thought. Indignant, the king threw the first slave in prison until he could repay 150,000 years of wages. Many of us get stuck there, hung up on that king reneging on the debt relief and sending a man to be tortured over a debt he could never hope to repay. We fear that God will torture us eternally for a mistake we made long ago. Is that the lesson, though? I suspect that is the hyperbole of Jesus, what Robert Tannehill calls the sword of his mouth. Jesus painted big, bold pictures to capture our attention. We do not actually try to pass camels through needles' eyes. We do not really have logs in our eyes. Sorry to say, but in real life, there is no Superman who can leap tall buildings in a single bound. Extravagant exaggeration gets our attention. Jesus told stories that people remembered for decades and are still telling 2,000 years later, because they're really good stories. They still have power today. Like that king, does God hold grudges? Or does our Creator readily wipe our slates clean? 2 verses before today's lesson, Jesus told his followers, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Pretty easy to be forgiven in heaven if all it takes is earthly forgiveness. Shucks, we can do that, can't we? In some churches, women are taught they must be submissive to their fathers and husbands, even in abusive situations. However, Jesus taught everyone, men and women, to turn their cheeks. He defended women and included them in his healing and teaching. No way he expected them to tolerate abuse from family. What about forgiveness, the abusers say? An abused woman or man can forgive and keep herself safely removed from further abuse. We can forgive from a distance. We can forgive from a safe distance. We can even forgive those who never apologize. We can forgive those too arrogant, too lost in themselves to see their own sin. We can forgive those unable or unwilling to control their behavior. Why did the king forgive the slave's debts? There was no hope the man could ever pay 150,000 years' wages. No hope. And the king could recover a little by selling a family. Or he could be merciful. He could be merciful, compassionate, gentle, and caring. He could see the humanity, what he had in common with the slave at his knee, trembling before him, and forgive. Why would we forgive? We will never be rich as kings. We will never own slaves, but we have been forgiven. Even the woman caught in adultery, a gigantic death penalty crime in the time of Jesus, he wiped it away. He protected her and forgave her. She could stand upright, walk away, and begin a fresh life, a new life. We began our worship with a confession and assurance today. We say the words aloud to remind us that God wipes it all away. That stupid thing we said, that selfish thing we did, all the time, money, and attention we give our own schemes instead of what God has in mind. Rosemary Anderson, the 57-year-old burdened with over $100,000 in student loan debt, she knows she can never pay it off. She knows the debt is too big. So she gave up. She stopped paying. Student loans cannot be removed by bankruptcy. Anderson expects that she will owe her gigantic student loans until she dies. She gave up paying because the amount is too great to bear. When we are forgiven, what happens to that burden? We no longer have decades of neglect or shame or guilt. Forgiveness wipes it away. Imagine Anderson being told her debt is now just $10,000 and her payments are $50 a month. Think of that slave being told 150,000 years of debt were erased, forgiven. Relief, new light, new hope. One can breathe, plan, dance, and begin anew. Yesterday's sins are forgiven, wiped away, washed clean. Now, what can you do with a clean slate? How can you live with greater love, more kindness, new generosity? You are blessed with a world of new opportunities, new possibilities, because you are forgiven. And like that slave who carried a burden too great to ever repay, Jesus expects you will greet the world with a new face. You have been loved so thoroughly that all your failures are gone, forgotten. Of course you will want to go and do likewise. You will want to forgive the little slights, the interruptions, the clerk who ignored you. And when you look back on that tremendous debt and God's gift of forgiveness, you will want to go big. You will want to let go of all the unforgivables. The spouse who broke your trust, the child who broke your heart, the employer who broke your retirement, the justice system that is anything but, the friend who betrayed your trust, maybe even the pastor or doctor who turned out to be less than perfect. We may want to say they do not deserve forgiveness. We expected better, and what they did deserves a grudge. Our Savior has a different view. We all deserve the peace, the relief, the light, and the hope of being forgiven. As well, we all deserve to forgive. We all deserve to tear up the account books. We deserve to cough up that grudge stuck so long in our pipes. Never again swallow poison and expect the other to die. We deserve to forgive, let go. We deserve the peace of letting God settle scores. Justice belongs to God.
This week there were many reminders of the terrorist attacks of September 11th with the slogan, "Never forget." It always makes me want to ask, never forget what? Never forget the fear, the anger, the hatred toward hijackers, Arabs, Muslims, Osama bin Laden. Would Jesus want us hanging on to hate? Or shall we never forget the unity, the way we came together to care about each other? Forgive? Ha! We cannot erase what was done. No. We cannot change the past. No. We can never change the past. Forgiveness changes the future. Forgive to change our future. Reverend Joanne Haejong Lee says that the first fist fight she ever saw was in a church. Two leaders got a little carried away with their disagreement. The disciple Peter started us off today by asking how often to forgive another member of the community. Church, a place to practice. Reverend Lee reflects that the ways in which we differ in the church may help us see and accept the greater diversity and creativity in all creation. How boring if we were all carbon copies? By looking around and listening for understanding, we might find a fuller expression and understanding of God. Maya Angelou wrote, "While I know myself as a creation of God, I am also obligated to realize and remember that everyone else and everything else are also God's creation." How can we survive hurts, anger, disagreement? How can we keep working together, keep moving forward with hope and great joy? Forgive and forgive again. Repeat as needed. Amen.